Workable Tech, Episode 8, recorded February 11th, 2018. And puppies.
Hello, and welcome to Workable Tech. We have news, reviews, interviews, how-tos.
And puppies.
And puppies to make the most of technology in your business and in your life. I'm Jackie Putman, this is Carrie, and here's Maggie May. Hey! I'm going to put you down now, Maggie, okay? Because I know you're like, oh my gosh, put me down now. Sit down.
Get down there.
There you go. All right. Good girl. Lay down. So how was this week for you? What all went on?
I worked on a redesigned website. So yeah. I got that done.
Oh, really? What website is that?
That's the ProAir website.
The ProAir website?
Yes.
Then tell them where it's at so they can go check it out.
www.pro-air.net.
That's right. She redesigned the ProAir website. And I think everyone will be impressed. I'm always impressed with all her web coding skills. I might be a little biased, but not a lot, because she has talent. I realized that a long time ago. I
How
say,
about you?
Here's something I can't do. Let me marry into that.
Marry into it. So, how was your week?
It's busy.
You were doing supplemental IT support.
Yes, I was. Supplemental IT. Right here. Supplemental IT. And,
unnamed large box retailer.
Yeah, but supplemental IT, if you've ever wondered, what's that supplemental IT on that sign? Well, obviously your larger businesses and, you know, places have their own IT department. But there are times when that IT department is in a corporate office somewhere away from all these different satellite locations, and they need hands and eyes on site. And you see, you know, sometimes they're asking the users questions that the users don't have answers to. So that's where supplemental IT comes in. You know, an IT knowledgeable person to come in and be the hands and eyes and ears of the central corporate IT department and help get things resolved for them easily. So that's what I was doing. Unfortunately, when I do that, this particular customer, it takes all my free time away, and I have very little free time to do things like podcasts and stuff. So,
but we managed to get it in. So our first story is about some things we've been warning you about for a while.
Yeah. Can't say we didn't warn you. That mega vulnerability Cisco dropped is now under exploit.
It's the one we discussed last week.
Right? It's the one where I was sitting there, go now, go to your network closet, check it out. And I listed bop, 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 like 50 different model numbers. That's the one that is. They said, here's a vulnerability. But now, what, 3 days later since they was at the release, when did they release the vulnerability? I think it's like 31st of January, wasn't it?
It wasn't long.
It's in this article. But by the 6th of the next week there, we're having exploits. It says right here in that Craig Williams, his Twitter says, this is not a drill. Patch immediately. Exploitation, albeit lame. DOS so far, DOS is short for denial of service, has been observed in the field. So yeah, what they're saying there is we've actually seen the bad guys exploiting this vulnerability. And in this case, he said DOS, denial of service, that's where you bombard a device or a website or some entity on the internet with enough requests, just flood it with enough requests that eventually
legitimate traffic can't get through.
Right, legitimate traffic can't get through, and they have a period of unresponsiveness from their servers, their server farms and such. Another thing that we've been talking to you about recently is Spectre and Meltdown. Now, we have said that there is no known exploits at the time we talked about this. And we were correct in that fact. There were no known exploits that were of concern. However, we're seeing trends that every bad guy out there is, as I said before, hammering feverishly to and, you know, to get some of those exploits created, or to act on those vulnerabilities and have some actual exploits in the industry. Although they're not yet potent, these are being seen. And it says in the article here that we linked to, Steve Gibson with GRC.com, excellent source for any security news, a brilliant fellow. I don't have to talk any more about him. Just listen to him for 2 minutes and you'll agree. But he talks about in this article how there's 77 known exploits in like the middle of January, or not known exploits, let me rephrase that, 77 known events that was observed by AV Test, which is a company that does testing for antivirus and security products. They found 77. By the end of January, that number went from 77 to 119. And then here recently, middle of the week or whatever, that number jumped from 119 to 139. So what that means is you see these numbers of activity around that vulnerability, and there's these numbers of exploits that are not potent. I mean, soon we'll have 500 and 5,000, and then it's just a statistics problem after that. You know it's going to happen. Right. Somebody's going to act on that vulnerability, and we're going to see Spectre and Meltdown become a lot more than it is now.
Now the Cisco vulnerability, there's patches for that, correct?
Yes. Do contact your IT service department. Even now, don't think just because we're announcing that it's been exploited that you don't have to patch. So don't delay, but go out there and get this patch.
But this Spectre and Meltdown patches so far have been kind of spotty. And has Intel made any kind of announcement about when they think that they might have chips out that won't be affected?
Well, that's the thing, is I haven't found any evidence of when the Spectre Meltdown, as we discussed before, this vulnerability is by how the CPU is designed. This is, in the case of Spectre, speculation, that's what Spectre is short for, speculation of what is my next command. And it's concerning the cache and all this physical design of the PC. Now they can release patches that patch the microcode of the processor.
But so far those haven't worked.
That's correct. The microcode is it's kind of like instructions on how the processor is to run. And they can say, okay, you see this cache and this Meltdown Spectre or the speculation feature? Don't use that. And that slows the processor down, but it does make your processor safer against the speculation, vulnerability, and meltdown, and these kinds of things. So, but all I see is them talking about releasing microcode patches. I don't know if the evidence of the last microcode patch that Intel released, we talked about it last week.
Caused computers to reboot.
Where Microsoft turned around and released their own patch and disabled Intel's microcode patch. And the reason is because it caused computers to spontaneously reboot. The idea, though, is they will get that microcode patch right. And I feel like, from what I see in the industry so far, I will correct this if I see any more evidence, but I feel like there's no plans to ramp up any release of new processors at this time. The processors are going through their through their development cycle, the new release of processors, the Coffee Lake, the Ice Lake, and all these other ones that we're expecting to see come down, they're still being developed and are tested before they're going to release them, but they're not going to ramp up that release date. They're going to say, here's a microcode patch, and that should be enough.
Well, I mean, even if they did, speed up the release of a CPU, it's not like everybody's going to go out and replace every CPU and every device that's out there that's affected.
That's true.
So they're still going to have to do their patches.
So the thing is, so do you think someone should hold off on purchasing a new computer or CPU until they release safe by design CPUs? Or how long will you wait until they do?
Right.
Is it going to be a year? Is it going to be
the
latter half of 2019 is my best guess.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's a guess. That's not, don't hold me to that.
Because they still have to design.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
they had in their pipeline was based on the flawed design.
Exactly.
So now they're having to go back and redesign part of that, and that just starts their development process all over again.
Yep. So, what we say is don't hold off on purchasing a new PC because there is no date that we know that, hey, go out and replace your computers and you'll be safe from this. And, the microcode patch, they will eventually get it right, and that would be enough. Your CPU, yes, will slow down slightly. And I feel like even the next release might not even have but the microcode patch, right? Because they're so close to release now of Coffee Lake.
Right.
So it might not even have the microcode patch. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, the physical redesign. So, the next generation of CPUs might be the same as you are here. Now, eventually, they will redesign, and I'm holding out that they will, but I don't think it's something you need to stop your next refresh from. Go ahead and refresh your PCs, buy new PCs when it.
Workable Tech is brought to you by Pro Computer Services. Pro Computer Services provides pain-free IT managed services, supplemental IT support, and website development. You can contact Pro Computer Services at 256-353-4476 or at their website, www.pro-computer.com.
Our next story is about WordPress, and if you have a website that's built on WordPress, this is something you really need to pay attention to. Carrie, there's something that's going on in WordPress, and it sounds like it's kind of important.
Yeah, there's a little bug. WordPress 4.9.3 came out recently, and they discovered that this release of WordPress actually broke the auto-updating feature. And basically, you know, most websites, unfortunately, once it's up, people don't touch it again, and they tend to leave their WordPress just sitting there, and they put it on auto-updates. And so every time a new WordPress release comes out, it just
it automatically updates it.
Well, 4.9.3 broke that functionality. And not only because it broke it, the bug fix can't be pushed out automatically because it's broken. So they sent out a new release. The release is 4.9.4. And basically, you have to go out manually, either you or your web host, and make sure that you run this update. I ran the update on our sites. It's really quick. It doesn't take very long.
But a skilled person like you.
No, it's not hard to run. I mean, if you can get around WordPress, you can run the update. Okay. Because basically, well, I couldn't
do that.
Yeah, he could do it. He just doesn't think he can. But basically, when you log into WordPress, there'll be an alert at the top of page on the dashboard telling you that this update is available. And again, it's 4.9.4. And you need to go ahead and run that manually because auto update is broken. Now, we host our websites with GoDaddy. And I went in and updated manually, went ahead and did it as soon as I found out about it. But GoDaddy has been pushing out this update to their customers. So your web host may run the update for you, but you need to go in and check and make sure. And if it hasn't been run, you need to go ahead and do that.
That's correct. Yeah, I don't think I could do that, though.
It really is simple. I mean, it is really simple.
I think
simple.
I would call a skilled web developer to do that for me. I mean, that's just me. I'm sure there's some people out there that are like me that know what you can do and what you can't do. And, you know, there's different types of people, and some people just want to make sure that it's done right. You know?
I can see that. So definitely either run the update yourself, make sure that your web host is running it, or have your developer run it, because if you don't, auto updates are broken.
And so what happens if you don't and auto updates are broken?
And if you're relying on the auto updates and there's a really bad bug, I mean, auto update breaking is a bug, and it's kind of an embarrassing bug, but it's not gonna hurt anybody in and of itself. But what could happen is you could get a very bad bug later that they push out an update for, and you don't get it.
When was this one released?
Earlier this week.
Okay, earlier this week. What was the name? The patch number again?
4.9.4.
If you do not upgrade from 4.93 to 4.94, then
4.9.4.
Then this time, 6 months from now, it could be on 4.9.3
still, and then.
But the most recent version could be 5.3.1 that fixes a lot of problems that could happen to your website.
I mean, there could be something discovered.
Security.
Some kind of security issue discovered.
Or a DOS attack that could affect your website. So what I'm trying to illustrate here is this is an important thing.
Right.
When we talk about these things, it's important.
It's not a bug in the sense of it's a vulnerability that can be exploited and, used to attack your website. But it is a security issue because it leaves your website unable to auto-update your WordPress code should you so choose to do that. And if you think, if you're one of those people that set it to do that before, and it auto-updated a 493,
and you never go in and check it,
and you don't know that it needs to be patched manually, then when something, like you said, when something bad comes out, it's not going to get updated.
And it will be vulnerable for
it will be vulnerable.
Everything from then on.
Exactly. So make sure to go in, update your WordPress.
Workable Tech is brought to you by ProAir Services. ProAir Services is veteran-owned and operated and specializes in HVAC and refrigeration installation, maintenance, and repair services for industrial, commercial, and institutional customers in Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Georgia. You can contact them at 256-353-4446 or at their website, www.pro-air.net.
So our next story is about the release of Office 2019.
Yes, Office 2019 will be releasing later this year. And there's a big caveat for it. It's going to be for Windows 10 users only. It says here that if you like Microsoft Office, as most of us do, we run our businesses on it. Everybody does, really.
Most people do.
Most people. Later this year, in the second half of 2018, Microsoft will be releasing Windows Office 2019. It will contain Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook. Also Skype for Business. All software we're familiar with. At this point in time, we're not certain if it will also include Access, OneNote Publisher, but I feel like it might. But the point is, Windows 7, Windows 8 users will not be able to upgrade their version of Office to 2019. They will be stuck on Office 2016 in perpetuity, I guess.
So, you know that in my former life, I was a government contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything you could guarantee as a government contractor is that you would not get the latest version of Windows or Office or anything for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's a vulnerability.
Right.
So, I'm going to bet, how long has Windows 10 been out?
It's been out for quite a while. Let's see here. It's been like 2 years at least.
Yes, but isn't it the most current release of Windows?
It is. Okay. And at least what's been said now, it's going to be the last release of Windows.
So I guarantee you that there is a government office somewhere that is not running it.
Windows 10?
Yes. I guarantee you.
There's a lot of places not running Windows 10 right now.
And so, they're not going to be able to upgrade their Office. Now, granted, if they aren't running Windows 10, they're probably not going to run Office 2019. But, again, if there turns out to be some reason why they need Office 2019, you know, Microsoft has a contract with the government.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like Microsoft will honor that contract and provide them government versions of Office.
Because, you know, there's that Office 365, which I thought meant cloud-based Office, but apparently it does not. You still have to install it, correct?
Well, Office 365 is a very complicated product. We could talk...
We have a whole show just on Office 365.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that Office 365, you can't just say, okay, well, I'm not going to upgrade to Windows 10. I'll just run Office 365 instead of Office 2019. It's not the way it works. Correct? Because you still have to download.
Or if you're on Office 365, then in theory you will have Office 2019.
But if you're on Office 365 on Windows 7,
yes, you will not.
You will be able to get the latest version. You will not. Again.
Yeah, you're kind of pigeonholed there. Mm-hmm. There. Also, I want to talk. It says in this article as well something that kind of shows the hand that Microsoft is playing here. They're also removing MSI installers for Office. And they're using the click-to-run installer technology that if you are followed any of Microsoft Office installations since 2007, they've had click-to-run Office installer technology. And basically, you click on the link on the website, it downloads a small executable that then facilitates a download of Office, the installation of Office, and the whole nine yards. But they've also published MSI, so you can download the 6700, the 1.6 gigabyte Office program itself, and run that without reaching out to your internet connection. I don't think this is going to work very well, but it says here that one important thing to note is that Office 2019 will be released with click to run installation technology only.
Okay, then you get back to the government offices that have contracts with Microsoft.
Are just offices that don't have internet. I mean, it sounds ridiculous at this point of time in business, but
no,
there are reasons you don't have internet.
There's top secret offices that don't have internet.
Exactly. And there's even inside businesses, there are certain machines you might not want internet on for various reasons. And how are you going to put Office on that machine?
Are they just going to say, too bad, so sad? I mean.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping there's some kind of trick around it. I've used Click to Run to get, there's a similar technology for QuickBooks, where you have to, download it or whatever, and it's long story short, but I've used something to capture that installation file, that MSI file. And the only way to do it is to capture it in the middle of the installation process. I did that for deployment server and to automate the deployment of QuickBooks across multiple computers at the same time. But, QuickBooks made it difficult. QuickBooks wants you to click install one at a time. When you're an IT guy and you're having to install 22 computers at one time, you don't have time for that, so you have to use these little tricks. I'm thinking there's a trick to this. There's got to be. Maybe the IT version will offer some kind of MSI installer.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being, from the customer, the end user point of view, you can't just download the software and run it from a USB thumb drive. You have to be connected to the internet.
So basically, if you're not running Windows 10 in your office and you want the latest and greatest Office,
you need to be thinking about upgrading to Windows 10. You need
to upgrade to Windows 10.
That's right. And the thing about this is, this, I said it shows their hand. What I mean by that is everything's moving to cloud-based software as a service. If you hear that, software as a service, Microsoft wants you to use Microsoft Office and pay them monthly for the right to use it. And this is just a way that they're slowly stepping it into a situation where you're not going to be able to use Office in the, Right now they're making it, you can't install the newest Office without on Windows 10 with all those cloud hooks that they've already designed in Windows 10 to allow for software as a service within Windows 10 space code. And now the newest version of Office, you can't install it without being connected to the internet, and you have to be on Windows 10. So I'm saying this is showing their hand. They're, and you can't fault them. I mean, Adobe, their entire suite program is on the cloud now.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a few other name brand softwares, but the right off the top of my head, Adobe is fully cloud. And now you have the Office being pushed that way. Microsoft's going that way. So that's the point that I wanted to make here. Office 2019 will provide 5 years of mainstream support and only 2 years of extended support. So Office 2019 was supported for 7 years. So it seems the last licensed version of Office Suite, and once Office 2019 ends in 2025, the company will move to Office 365 and Office in the cloud. So there, right there, tells you they're moving to the cloud. By 2025, they are planning to be all cloud-based. So here we are in 2018. No, yeah, 2018.
Yeah.
So 7 years out.
Mm-hmm.
2025, they're planning on everything being the cloud. So this is the future. Software as a service, cloud-based software, it's where it's going. Like it or not, this is where the industry's headed.
Workable Tech is brought to you by FieldTech Woodland. FieldTech Woodland provides CNC machining, metal fabrication, HVAC, and related mechanical services. You can contact them at 256-350-1718 or at their website, fieldtechwoodland.com.
Next up, Amazon launches something that Carrie wants to talk about.
Yes, Amazon has launched a new WordPress plugin. It's called Polly, and what it'll do is allow you to create an audio version of a blog post automatically. So you don't have to sit down and record it. It will create it for you. And this is really useful. I think mm-hmm. it's going to be really useful for usability.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
It'll be an easy way to, and also they're saying that, you know, you can use it to generate a podcast feed.
Oh, so if you're already blogging, you could just
do this for every post.
Create a podcast from your blog.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even have to, like, record it separately or anything.
Exactly.
You just...
So
that's awful.
So basically, once I read about it, I had to go play with it.
Yes.
And it, there's a little background before I go into showing you what I did with it. So basically, it runs on AWS, which is Amazon Web Services. And it uses text-to-speech. They have a cost for that, but all of the Amazon Web Services are extremely cheap. It's based on use, so the way this is priced is it's per character, and it's, you know, a blog post. They showed an example in the article where a blog post, it was going to cost, I think, 0.04 cents to do the blog post because it was so short. And one of the things that's available with AWS is as a new customer, and you sign up, you get a year free for some of their services. And one of the services you can get for that free that year is the text-to-speech.
Cool.
And basically, The free tier, it's not unlimited free. There's a certain amount. I believe it's like 5 million characters a month.
Like a book a month.
Yeah, like a book a month for a year. And then what it does is it'll create the file, it'll upload it to Amazon Web Services. You can either download it and put it on your own hosting or leave it there. We already have an account there. We already use it to host these files. So that's just what I use. I use the same account to host the files for the blog.
Mm-hmm.
And the plugin, when you save your post, the plugin does everything. It connects to Amazon.
Really?
It generates the file. Uh-huh. And then it displays it. So I'm going to show you what it looks like.
So we got a demo of this?
Yeah.
Cool. I can't wait to see this.
Okay, so I have a blog called Chronically Zen. It's about being chronically ill. I have Crohn's disease. And I went in this morning and I installed the plugin. I'm not going to go through that because it's in the article. It's kind of techie and nobody wants to see all that. But once you install the plugin, you go to your post, and there's this new section called Enable Amazon Polly. And when you go into the post, it says it's enabled already.
Put that on my blog.
Okay, I can do that.
That'd be good.
It says it's enabled already, but it's not. It hasn't actually generated any files on your old posts. It's just already. It's already enabled in all the new ones. Mm-hmm. So when you save a new one, it'll create it. You can select your sample rate. I'm not really educated in sample rates, so I just leave it at the default. And then there's a large number of
languages.
And
can you Google publish?
No, I don't think it translates. I don't think it's like my English post to be translated to German if I pick a German voice.
Okay, so you have to type it in German if you...
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know. So mine's in U.S. English. I decided Kimberly was my favorite. And then here it has a button which will show you how much it costs. Well, we're on the free tier. So right now it always says zero.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see here, it says it's $4 per 1 million characters. That's a lot of characters, y'all.
I'll book them up.
That's probably. So, basically, what happens, and I'm not going to hit update because I don't want it to generate the file again. When you hit update here, it generates the file. Like I said, it goes out to Amazon. Amazon generates the file. It saves it out to AWS because that's the way I have it set up. And then... once the post is saved, you go to the post, and there's my post. And now I've got this nice...
Oh, wow.
And see, it even says...
So if someone visited your website and, you know, has problems reading your post or maybe vision issues or something like that, they could just click that and listen.
And listen instead of trying to read it, correct.
That is awesome. And I tell you what, that... one of the things that I'm always so impressed by is using technology to help people with handicap situations. So this is impressive right here.
And basically, I'm going to play some for you. It's, you know, obviously not a real person, but it's really not that bad. There is some inflection in there. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sentences sound like sentences, questions sound like questions. Yeah, and there have been a couple of times.
However robotic it might sound.
However robotic it might sound. It's a robot with personality. So let's see how it sounds.
Three reasons I meditate and why other Scoobies should. Two years ago, I began doing guided meditations using several iPhone apps. I quickly discovered that meditation was not only a great way to center myself, but it also had other benefits particularly useful to my life as a chronically ill person. I've used it at home, at work, and in the hospital, and I now consider meditation an important part of my wellness toolbox.
So, like I said, it's obviously not a real person, but it's not half bad.
And you know, somebody wants to Yeah, your blog is out there to help people.
Right.
That's the goal of this blog, is to help chronically ill people. And if somebody, you know, has a handicap, or even if they're getting older and they can't read the screen as well.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, don't even have to have a handicap, because, you know, we all know age affects us in different ways. So
I mean, I'm about to the point that I'm having trouble reading some websites. So mm-hmm. and so yeah. Yeah. I really like it. It's really cool. It's really pretty easy for me to set up. And basically my I went through this morning, I installed it, and I updated every post and listened to everyone. It actually caught, listening to it, I caught some grammar errors.
Oh, really?
In my post, because she'd say something and I'd go like, this doesn't make any sense. Oh, it doesn't make any sense because my post didn't make any sense.
And better go change that.
So I had to change it and resave it. It regenerated the file. And so that was kind of cool too.
Yeah. So you can listen back and say, you know, I'm bad to ramble. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but I can ramble a lot. And if I do the same thing on blog posts. The order, I don't even want to tell you my blog, because you know, this guy just rambles and rambles and rambles. But if I did that, I'm like, I would be aware that I'm rambling and I need to kind of condense things a little better.
But I did all this morning before church. It took maybe an hour for me to do all of it. Now, granted, I already had my AWS account set up.
Mm-hmm.
But even that doesn't take that long. And all my posts are already there and converted. So,
and I'm proud of her doing this.
I saw that during the week, and I cannot wait to play with that. So it was really, like I said, it's obviously not a real person, but it turned out much better than I thought it would. I was really pleased with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend using it, especially if you use a blog or write a blog, that is targeted towards people who probably may have disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
our elder generation.
Right. You know, all websites should be somewhat usability, have some usability features.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is going to be a really good way to do that. And so I'd highly recommend looking into Amazon
and
Poly.
Just think of the audience you know that couldn't read your blog before that now can.
Right.
Okay, so that was our episode this week. I hope you got some information that you can take into your business and into your life. You know, start reading some of them blog posts that the prints are so small. I've been there. I've seen these websites where it's like, I can listen to them now.
Yeah, you can listen to them now.
Yeah.
And don't forget, it is Valentine's Day this week.
That's right. So all you guys, remember, Valentine's Day,
and
I'm asking for help. So if you have any ideas, please, just like, comment below or something.
Yes, that reminds me. Don't forget, we have a Facebook page, Workable
That's right.
Tech. We have a website, workable-tech.com. Mm-hmm. You can leave comments. You can find show notes and leave comments there. You could also send us a message and tell us any story ideas that you have, or
if you have a question.
Our question, or volunteer to be our first interview now that we have figured out how to use Skype with our software.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. So everybody, have a good week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
So you'll create one that says Amazon Poly for this link, and then my website/podcast for this link, and then Amazon Poly for this link. I'm talking above my head right here.
Yeah,
so
we're gonna have to cut all this out because it makes no sense to me.
Sorry.
You just gone on a tangent.
I'm hungry.
Gone on a tangent.
I got hungry. I'm hungry, hungry, hungry. I'm ready to be done with this.
The quick
podcast.
But if you wouldn't go on tangents, we'd already be done.
I'm hungry. I want to go eat food.
I figured out how to do it.
Okay.